Hey hurdlers, Emily Abadi here on a solo mission for this week's Hurdle Moment from Hurdle, a podcast that talks to everyone from entrepreneurs to top CEOs and athletes about how they've gotten through tough times, hurdles of sorts, by leaning into wellness. Now, if you're just newly listening to the pod, and I know I have a few of you out there, first of all, thank you. Hi, welcome. But more importantly, a little info on Hurdle Moment. I started doing these 15-minute or less segments a few months ago because I felt like there was more I wanted to say. I wanted to have an opportunity to connect with this audience more often. And so what you can expect from these are bite-sized episodes that talk about everything from being an entrepreneur to just trying to be a better person and doing self-work to running and athletics and just, you know, all the things that I am interested in. Before I get into this week's Hurdle Moment, where I'm going to be talking about the reasons why we often fail, a little housekeeping. I am so excited to be hosting a ladies run and grub, sorry guys, with my friends from Woolaco and Charlie Street next Thursday, September 5th at 6:30 p.m. We're going to be linking up at Woolaco's headquarters in Tribeca. You can get the address information in the link to the description of this episode. Heading out at 6:30, running a 5K, ending that 5K at Charlie Street. Don't worry, you can't come straight from work. There will be changing rooms and bathrooms and all the things. And then we're just going to have a fun little conversation once we get to Charlie Street and connect and just enjoy each other's company. The best part is it's free. So again, sign up by clicking the link with the description to this episode, where you'll find all of the details. Hope to see all of you hurdlers there. Now, let's talk about failure. I know it's something that we don't like to harp on, right? But the thing is, and I've talked about this before, is that failure is an opportunity to learn each and every time, and we'll get into that. And sometimes it just feels like you're so down on your luck that time and time again, you're putting your best foot forward and it's just not happening. I get it. I've been there. Today, I'm going to be diving in to some of the reasons why failure keeps on happening and what you can do to avoid it. Anyway, you know the drill, at Hurdle Podcast, at Emily Abadi. If you have a hurdle moment of your own to share or have any hurdle moment requests for topics of sorts, feel free to shoot me an email. It's emily@hurdle.us. And with that, let's get to hurdling. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about the feedback I get from people when I tell them that I'm training for my 8th marathon. A lot of the time, the question is, how do you keep doing that? The reality is that I love running marathons. I love training for them. Training for them makes me feel empowered, and it makes me feel strong, and it makes me feel capable in every single aspect of my life, period. When I set out to run a marathon, I have my eye on the prize. And I know that in this lengthy process, that all the hard work is just so worth it. I also know that there is absolutely no way that I'm going to fail at running a marathon. I know. Strong sentence. But here's the thing. It all depends on how you define the word fail. If you define failing a marathon as not getting a time that you want come race day, then you and I have different opinions on what it means to fail. For me, failing means sticking to what I sought out to do, giving it all I've got, and being confident knowing that I left it all out on the table. I've run marathons in the past in under 3 hours and 50 minutes, and then I've run other marathons in the past in 4 hours and 14 minutes. Neither one of those was a bigger win than the other. The slower one was not a fail. Failure is something that we deal with often, and it happens in a lot of different shapes and sizes, so to speak. I mean, you could view failing as in dating, when you give someone that you care about a lot of your energy, a lot of your time, and then it doesn't pan out. That can feel like a failure. Or maybe in a more literal sense, you study for a big exam, maybe you're going for some sort of certification, and you fail it. Both instances, despite being emotionally taxing in different ways, could be considered failures. And like I touched upon in the intro, failure doesn't need to be a bad thing. In fact, failure happens each and every time to teach us something. We have the opportunity to fail. Sounds funny, right? I know. Just like we have the opportunity to succeed. It is your responsibility, rather than to dwell in anger and frustration when things don't go as planned, to dust yourself off and learn from what just happened. Understand that there is opportunity in the failure. So, how do we fail less often? Well, you can't control everything, although sometimes, man, I wish that I could. But regardless, there are some reasons why you may be failing more often. So let's dive into those. First up, you don't listen to advice. Now, there's a big difference between listening to advice and taking it. There are always going to be people who want to offer you solutions or their input on whatever it is that you're doing. A lot of people, you know, they offer advice just to hear themselves think. Here I am offering you advice, and I'll be the first one to admit that going through these exercises, recording these podcasts, I feel like I'm getting something out of it too. Sometimes it'll be unwarranted. But by not listening to the advice, especially of someone who may have similar goals as you, you're closed off to learning. For instance, say you're hoping to go out on your own, leave a 9-to-5 life, and start working as a contractor. Hey, I did the same thing. I might have a lot of advice to offer you in this situation. I might have some feedback like, hey, I know that I'm less productive in front of my computer after 4 p.m., so that's why I schedule my meetings then. Maybe that kind of advice won't work for you, but listening to it, understanding that, hey, there is a way that you could structure your day to reap the most out of the productivity puzzle, maybe that'll teach you something. Again, you don't have to apply the advice that you've been given, but you have the chance to listen and take from it what you will. The next source of failure, you're distracted. We all get distracted. Whether it's by a partner or a basketball game on TV, or it's happy hour at the office, it's easy to get sidetracked from what's going on, from the task at hand. But when you really want something, you make it a priority. Again, that can be anything from a big project with a client that you're excited about, or a person that you care about, or like my first example, a marathon. It's okay to get distracted sometimes, as long as you are willing to put in the work to get back on track. But when you're constantly distracted and allowing for that distraction to weave its way in, it becomes a roadblock to what you want. It becomes a hurdle. Sometimes this means that you may need to set a goal at a specific time. You may need to put something off until it makes more sense. For instance, if you know right now that you need to travel endlessly for your job, and you've also been invited to partake in some sort of 30-day challenge with your friends where you're going to workout studios together constantly, well, committing to that challenge would probably lead to failure because, well, you're not around. So if that's something that interests you, maybe commit to doing it another time or be upfront with what you're capable of. I think sometimes we so badly want to be able to do it all that instead of owning what we're capable of, we just say yes. Understand that it's okay to say no and do the best you can with what you have. The next reason why we're failing, you don't really want the thing you're trying to go get. How often has someone come to you with like some really exciting idea, or they've shared with you some story and it gets you all hyped, and then you think, maybe I want to do something like this, and then before you know it, you are, God, I hope not, training for a marathon and you don't even want to do it. If you make someone else's goal your goal without feeling really passionate about it, then yeah, it's going to be easy to get sidetracked and it's going to be easy to fail. It'll be easy not to follow through, and it'll be easy not to do what you set out to do in the first place. Especially since a lot of big goals have a lot of opportunity cost, it's important that you feel confident that you're going after something that you want, not that somebody else wants. Another reason we're failing, a lack of discipline. Anyone who has ever accomplished something great hasn't done it without a whole lot of self-control. And of course, there are going to be those people that it feels like everything just comes super easy to them. But the reality is that big goals require commitment and sacrifice and focus. It's always a little heartbreaking when I see someone set out on something really big that they get excited, that I know that they truly want, and then slowly over time, that discipline, that determination, it fades. Now, in those kinds of situations, remember that it is not your responsibility to help them accomplish this goal, although a good friend could ask a few questions. Hey, I noticed X, Y, and Z. Is there anything I can do to help you? Or maybe There's a reason why their motivation changed. There's a reason why the discipline is fading. Maybe they want help. Maybe they don't. But the best thing you can do is at least offer yourself to the situation, especially if this is someone that you care about. And the last reason for failing, you're afraid to stand out. I read this really awesome quote the other day that said, you've got to stop effing with people that make you feel average. I get it. Sometimes it's scary to stand out. Sometimes it's really nice to fly under the radar. But when you're afraid to take big leaps, when you're afraid to push your comfort zone, then nothing changes if nothing changes. If you want a big job, for example, you can have a great first interview, but if you're not willing to do the follow-up, if you're not willing to get really in front of that recruiter and let them know that it is yours for the taking, that you are the person that deserves this opportunity, then that's on you. I actually told someone this bit of advice the other day that's some of the best I've gotten in my career. And it's that so often we are so concerned with the niceties that go along with the job interview process. But let me tell you, 9 times out of 10, if you're not the person that's following up what feels like a little too early, then somebody else probably is. Just a little note. Anyway, I can't say this enough. There is only one you. Embrace who it is that you are and watch what happens when you own that and see how special it is. Part of what has made me arguably semi-successful so far in launching a podcast is that I own who I am. I'm just not trying to be someone I'm not. Instead, I'm digging into the things that make me feel passionate. I'm digging into the things that make me feel like me in hopes to connect with a broader audience and put forth the Emily with all of her faults, with all of her flaws, that makes you feel like you want to come back here time and time again. And that's it. If you feel like you keep getting knocked down, trust me, it happens to all of us. That, you know the saying, when it rains, it pours. But with the right attitude, with discipline, with a good foundation and people that support you, we get to go after anything that we want. And that's pretty awesome. At Emily Abadi, at Hurdle Podcast, let me know what you're going after. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.